I'm going to tell you about four different lines of research that I'm involved in to try to address these this really difficult connection between observations that are made at the level of brain science and questions and issues and insights that come from education, to try to bring these two together, because that's what I'm going to try to do with the rest of my career, is to try to make a fundamental connection between these two very different types of research and inquiry. And the place I'm going to start is with focusing on reading. Reading is a really great place to start here, because we know a lot about it from cognitive psychology and from neuroscience. We also know a lot about it from the education side, and it happens to be something which is introduced pretty late in life, and it's actually been introduced pretty late in history. So human beings were around a lot longer than the writing system. It's not a natural thing for us to, just as humans, to read and write. This is something that was had a punctate invention about 5,000 or 6,000 years ago, and has been transmitted from culture from one generation to the next through education. And that's the only reason why it exists, but I think it's transformed humanity from one stage of society to another. And it's transformed the human mind. Literacy really changes the human brain in fundamental ways that we can now measure. But I'm going to talk about four different levels of research that try to dig into this question. And I won't really get to go very far into each one, but I'll get to give you a flavor of the approach. And the first level approach, that when I was a graduate student was all the rage and it was the limit of the field really, was what I want to call functional organization in expert adults, where you take the end state of somebody who's fully literate and knows how to read really, really well, and you study the heck out of them in every way that you can. You probe them, you say, how many milliseconds does it take you to read this word out loud? And you build cognitive models, and you can relate these models of how information is processed in the functional system to observables about the human brain. And this is a pretty amazing endeavor, because you can start to look at a living human brain and say what areas of that brain are active when a person's thinking about the sounds of the word versus thinking about the meaning of the word versus thinking about, is that the font that my mom typically uses in a letter? These different aspects of focusing your attention lead to changes in brain activity in the expert state. But there's limits to this. Reading is fundamentally the end of an entire developmental educational progression. It's the history, it's the achievement of 10, 20 years of schooling and education and learning and thousands of hours of practice. So where some more interesting action is understanding organization of function during development. How is it that the experiences that you had during development led to this expert state, to this ability that we all have of being able to fluently read? What had to change in the mind of a five-year-old child who had organized their brain through largely through evolutionary bias to hear words and hear language and see the world and see objects? But now that they're turning six and going to first grade, suddenly they have to do something very different with their brain. They have to connect analysis of the visual world to analysis of the linguistic world, and they have to connect them really, really well. So within half a second or a quarter of a second of looking at a written word, you know exactly what word in your language, which might be 50,000 words, that corresponds to. You build this, you're rewiring the brain at a systems level. We can now look at that progression because we can look at the developing brain. We can see how our brain's changing through the process of typical development and of typical education. And this is raising profound questions that are right on the edge of our understanding of neuroscience and cognition. How is it that experiences are changing our brains? How is it that changes in our brains related to experiences are changing our ability and what we can do in the next moment? But this is basic science. This is science focused on the abstract question of how does the human brain develop? There are even more interesting questions, I think, and especially that's going to be relevant to, I think, education. And that's shifting the focus not to how does the brain develop, but how do brains develop differently? Every single human brain that we ever study in our studies has tremendous variation to it in all sorts of unimaginable ways. And we can now look at the physiology and the anatomy and correlates of individual differences. We can start to see how a population of children, how their brains differ from one another, and how these differences in the human brain, as played out in every individual child, relates to individual differences in how well they're doing in these abstract intellectual skills like reading, mathematics, reasoning, drive, even attention, focusing their attention on something that they're curious about or driven to learn. We can trace out the brain systems involved in all of these things and see how do people differ. I'm not going to say that this is going to tell us exactly how we approach educational problems, but I'm going to say that it's like opening up just a whole other treasure box of potential insights that give us more to work with. But then the last one I want to talk about, and this is where my research is really focused and the reason why I came to Vanderbilt, and that's this notion of functional reorganization driven by intervention. So what do I mean by that? I mean using education as the experimental manipulation to see how is it that a learning experience studied in the laboratory or studied in the model classroom or in the field leads to changes in brain activity. So we want to put people in educational situations, have them learn something, and then map that systematically to changes that we see in the individual brains. And we want to see how the entire group tends to change on average, but even more interestingly, we want to see how do individuals respond differently to these experiences. We know there's a tight tie between experiences and ultimate brain development, brain organization, but the devil is really in the details here, really figuring out this mapping between them. So I'm going to try to touch on all four of these levels, and then we're going to come back to your questions at the end, hopefully, if I manage the time, and I manage not to mismanage.